So let's bring in Paul Emmy, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And, Paul, later on today, about an hour from now, Michael Silver, the man that wrote the article between Matt LaFleur, the new head coach of the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers, and talked about that dynamic, is going to join us on the program. So if you're going to start out the interview, what inquiring thing do you have for him?
Yeah, good question. I think I would like to know the vibe of Aaron Rodgers. Did it seem to Mike that Aaron was combative? Was, you know, I think arrogant is way too strong of a word. Was help fill in the blanks for me here. But like basically, essentially, because I think it comes off.
If he was trying to be the alpha male.
Yeah, right. Was it almost like a battle of alphas going on? And I don't think that LaFleur gives off that tone. In fact, I think he unfortunately gives off the opposite. So, like, just in general, when you talk to Aaron, the words seem strong. You know, the words seem, you know, alpha dog type of thing. Did it come across that way? Did it come across like a quarterback who was, you know, really trying to make sure he got his point across? Or were perhaps the words a bit more intense than the mannerisms? So mm-hmm. I'd love to know that, because on paper, I think it comes across like a guy in Rodgers who wants his way, you know, and wanted to make sure that his words reached a platform. And obviously, you know, the reach that Mike Silver has is significant in terms of readership. Did it seem like a guy who wanted to get his point across? You know, and sort of like, what was his tone? You know, because, I mean, an interview in words, just kind of like when you hit send on a tweet, like, you, it's hard to interpret the tone. Like, you can read the article and you can say, like, at least I said, like, you know, wow, like, kind of seems like a tug of war here, a battle of wills, a battle of two guys trying to kind of, you know, have their differing philosophies come together as one, but it seems that that's going to take a lot of work. So I'd love to know from his perspective if it felt like that, and what he saw maybe in the tone of Rodgers or in the expressions or mannerisms of Rodgers, because to me that would maybe help fill in some of the blanks that I have. Because, again, if it was a video interview, you could make a lot of that judgment for yourself, but in writing, you can only use the words and you kind of miss some of the tone aspect of it.
I think that, and the other side of the coin would be, when it comes to Matt LaFleur, did he seem concerned that
sure.
he's going
oh, yeah.
to have to deal
yeah.
with this? You know, that those are the two things I think down many Packers fans' minds of line of questioning that you would have for Michael Silver to say, did Aaron Rodgers seem like he was trying to emphasize that he wanted the control, and did it seem like Matt LaFleur is concerned about that, or is it just two guys sharing ideas?
Absolutely. That last point is exactly correct. And I know that this would require some opinion from Michael Silver, and this wouldn't just be straight, like, factual reporting, but I would love to know his opinion, having, because, you know, like, I believe he writes in the article, he says that he talked to LaFleur, then talked to Rodgers, and then talked to LaFleur a second time the next day. Mm-hmm. I would like to know, just from his opinion, if he believes, having had these back and forth conversations, if LaFleur seems like a strong enough personality to contain the, shall we say, enthusiasm of Rodgers. So, like, if this does become a battle of wills, you know, did it seem to Mike like LaFleur could hang in with that battle? Because I think if we've learned one thing from LaFleur, you know, he is not the boisterous, you know, head coach who's going to stand up in front of a room and just get them all to be, you know, united under one rallying cry. He's an X's and O's, intelligent, smart guy, but not necessarily like that strong personality. Rodgers can certainly have a strong personality. So, you know, yeah, so just like from a vibe perspective, like, you know, do you think, having sat with both of these guys a couple times on this topic specifically, does it seem like he could, you know, does it seem like LaFleur can contain that Rodgers personality, I guess, for lack of a better term?
How much do you think Dexter Williams is going to add to this running game? Because we have not talked about him at all. He's a pretty decent running back coming out of Notre Dame. And we know Aaron Jones has been a little bit banged up his first couple of years. But between Dexter Williams and Jamal Williams, it's not going to be, you know, formidable in the sense that you've got two guys back there that can give you 1,000-plus yards. But to me, it certainly seems like the run game went from being non-existent and more of an afterthought to this might not be too bad, and you keep Danny Vitale at your fullback position, who's been pretty good and looked decent in the blocking game. Well, I think you might have this might be a run game that takes some of the pressure off of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I think that is very much LaFleur's MO, and that there is going to be more passing plays thrown to the running backs. There's going to be more running plays with the running backs. Like, if LaFleur is able to implement his system the way he wants, you are going to hear the names Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams a lot. Catching it out of the backfield, being given the ball in the running game, that's the LaFleur system. And I assume the fact that he blew away Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst in the interview process, that they heard that and liked that. And so, you know, again, I think the last piece of that is making sure that the call at the line of scrimmage isn't changed too frequently. Mm-hmm. But if it's not, then you're going to hear those names a lot. Now, Dexter Williams, on one hand, I want to say, like, if things are going the way LaFleur wants, I would think you might, on one hand, I would say you think you might hear Dexter Williams a lot. But I think if you're hearing Dexter Williams' name too much, it probably means that Aaron Jones and or Jamal Williams are either injured or ineffective. Because, yes, it's great to have three running backs, but if your number three running back, assuming everybody's healthy, if your number three guy, being Dexter Williams, you know, is hearing his name called 15 times, he's either the rookie of the year or the guys ahead of him are, you know, injured or ineffective. So he adds a lot because, I mean, really, that's it. Like, this is a three-person running back group. And, yeah, you mentioned Vitale and, like, the fullback. But from a running game perspective, I'll be honest. I mean, I think the one maybe big surprise coming out of the draft and post-draft process this offseason was that there was only one running back addition and that they waited until the sixth round to do it. So, you know, it's these three guys. You know, it's Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Dexter Williams. So, yeah, I think, I mean, they're all going to be – if we're going to sit here and expect Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams to play a healthy 16 game, you know, you're setting yourself up to, you know, have your expectations shattered, you know, because that's just unrealistic in the NFL for two running backs to sustain a full level of health throughout a season. But, yeah, but Dexter Williams, I liked the pickup. I seemed like a lot of the post-draft analysis from people thought he could have gone higher. But at the same time, the Packers only added one. They only added him from, you know, through the draft process. So he's going to have to be good. He's going to have to be ready. But at the same time, you're going to probably want to not hear his name too much because that could probably mean you know, things for Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams that you don't want to know, like an injury or like just not performing well.
One of the things we don't talk about nearly enough, at least we haven't as of yet, is the offensive line. And the fact is, the offensive line had some depth issues last year. Do you feel better where they're at now? I think maybe to me, the X factor in all of this, I mean, it's great they picked up Billy Turner, don't get me wrong, and that they're able to kind of add to this. And they picked up Elkton Jenkins. But to me, the return of Cole Madison, if he turns out to be anything, it will be kind of a blessing, because then it gives you a little bit of flexibility in the depth area of quality depth. Now, you're still going to be relying on Lucas Patrick and, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, Jason Spriggs. But if you get something out of Cole Madison, I think that's – that really makes you breathe a little bit easier when it comes to the depth of the offensive line.
I do agree, but I think, like, in the pecking order of, like, you know, off-season additions, because I look at Cole Madison as an off-season addition, you know, having not, you know, shown up to the team for his rookie year, I think in order of importance to making this offensive line be better than it was last year, I think number one, in terms of, I'm just going to rank the off-season addition, number one, I think, is Billy Turner. They didn't pay him $9 million in the 2019 season. His, you know, his number for 2019 is $9 million. You didn't pay him that to not start. So he is, you know, how long is he really going to be in Green Bay? 2 years, 3 years, probably at most. It's not, you know, like a long-term thing like Cole Madison could be, like Elkton Jenkins could be. But he's here for a reason. They gave him big money for a reason. So I think he's the most important new piece on the offensive line. For me, that's actually followed by Elkton Jenkins, a guy who in the mid-second round. You know, we hear this about a lot of guys, like, oh, they could have been drafted earlier. They could have gone earlier. I did see several mocks that had him as a late first-round pick. There was a couple offensive linemen who that happened to on the first round of the draft, and one of them was Jenkins. So I kind of slot him in number two. I think Cole Madison, Bill, for me, and, you know, I kind of suppose that it would probably be a similar feeling for Brian Gutekunst, is that Cole Madison coming back was sort of a cherry on top, a bonus, something that you didn't expect, something that you just you had no way of knowing what his future in football was going to be because it was solely up to him. So, yeah, you know, he's important, and they're going to need his depth available because, you know, you mentioned Spriggs, and, you know, that's a name that I'm sure most Packers fans don't want to see out on the field on any given Sunday. But it's, you know, yeah, so I don't know. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay the comeback of Cole Madison because a year ago, coming out of him being a fifth-round pick, I was very much like, hey, this guy's going to be a piece of the offensive line. But I think with the way the rookie year played out, adding in Jenkins in the second round, paying big money to Billy Turner, I think those guys would get a crack before Madison would. Wouldn't you think in terms of like a pecking order, Bill?
Yeah, okay. No, I would completely agree. Completely agree. Paul, good stuff as always. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk again on Monday, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Bill.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You were a car, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them. 800-44-PRIDE to go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.